Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Guys, welcome to our show that's for you and about you, those of you that work so hard for your money, and you're ready for your money to start working harder for you now. You want that freedom, that cash flow, that prosperity today, not 30 or 40 million years from now, but right now, so you can live that life that you love, doing what you love with those that you love. But so much more than that, it's about creating a ripple effect through the lives of others around you, because as you are financially blessed and prospered, you can help bless more lives. And guys, I appreciate you allowing me to do that for you. Thank you so much for binging. You've been sharing. You guys have been just an amazing group of people. And you know, I know Lane might disagree here that I'm going to be introducing you to soon, but I think I got the coolest tribe of people here. That being said, our guests, you probably might be following him too. So either way, you guys are going to be cool. Hey, as a quick reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. On top of the great blogs that are on there too, you got that free ebook, Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today, if you're trying to find money to go and invest today. So check that out. Hey, how amazing would it be if you could create monthly cash flow, passive income, from making at least double-digit returns on your money? And get this, it's only $1,000 or more that you need to invest. Guys, that's exactly what Secured Investment Corp does. They actually do short-term lending to real estate investors that's backed by real estate that you can actually reach double-digit returns on. That means 10% or better. It's also IRA-friendly, and you can even reinvest those monthly distributions to create compound interest on your money too. So guys, if you want to learn more about that, go check out SecuredInvestmentCorp.com. That's Secured, S-E-C-U-R-E-D, InvestmentCorp.com. All right, guys. So today I've got a repeat guest on here. I've got Lane Kawaoka. Now, some of you guys already know this because if you've been listening to my show for at least, well, a week, you probably already know. I've been advertising his show, Simple Passive Cash Flow, right? I've been driving a lot of you to see his show because he's got great guests, great content, and amazing stuff. But on top of that, Lane is one of those guys, like he is like the engineer. I mean, one, he actually was in the engineering field. He started out in that field and now is a full-time real estate investor doing apartment syndications. And he's got deals all over from Huntsville, Alabama to, you know, whoever, where, Texas and everywhere, right? This guy is an amazing operator, has done lots of great deals. And I know a lot of you guys keep asking me saying, Chris, like, what do you think right now? Like, should I hold on my money? Should I wait? Should I invest it right now because of COVID and the elections and who knows whatever else excuse you've got? Those are the things that we want to talk about today is really like, is there a good time to buy? And if you are, you know, of course, investing in these deals, how do you stay organized? How do you stay on top of this so it's not something that just falls through the cracks? So that's what we're going to talk about with Lane about today. So Lane, welcome back to our show.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, Chris. It's nice to be on the anti-financial advisors bandwagon.
That's right, man. So yeah, it's always a pleasure because I mean, you absolutely rock this space. I mean, you do a really amazing job. The thing I always tell people on this show is that in my opinion, boring investments are sexy, right? And I tell people all the time when they're like, hey, do you know Lane? I'm like, yeah. Like when you see his boring investments, like you see another Huntsville, Alabama deal, like I actually get excited because those are like good deals. Like you got good stuff going on. So again, I'm kind of going off about how awesome you are, but why don't you talk about you? You know,
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your story and why you're doing what you're doing right now.
So I kind of grew up like a lot of people on the linear path of go to school, get a good job, study hard, have 2.1 kids and buy a house to live in. I was all about that, became an engineer, saved up my money, bought a house to live in Seattle, started renting it out. And then that's where I got the taste of cash flow. Started to buy a bunch of turnkey rentals, got up to 11 of them in 2015.
Yeah.
And then I kind of transitioned more into syndications and private placements as I became more of an accredited investor. And that's kind of what I mainly invest in today. Still got a couple of rentals, but I'm trying to sell those off soon so I can kind of focus more on like the bigger assets.
Yeah. Now, most of the people that are listening to the show are probably like a lot of the listeners you have too. They want to be passive investors. I mean, there are a few active investors that follow the show, but most are passive. I mean, what's your recommendation for them? Like, if they're looking at syndications, you know, what should they be looking at? What percentage of their portfolio should they be looking to invest if they're going to do a syndication?
Yeah, I think most people like who are accredited, you know, they probably should just do syndications, except for the fact that, you know, you're investing with people. And to vet people, you're going to need a network to be able to help you vet it out. And everybody's got a podcast these days. It, you know, they didn't start it when you did.
Yeah,
they kind of just started it recently, and everybody can create a webinar. So if you don't have any rental property experience, it's going to be a little hard to kind of find your tribe and to determine what's crap and what's not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why I think you advocate still for like people to get started with a turnkey rental, just at least to learn it for some folks. But for some people who are really busy, just got to kind of roll the dice and, you know, hopefully you get connected with good people. Because, you know, a lot of it is the operator that kind of controls the deal. At least making sure that you're not going to invest with some shyster out there that's going to steal your money.
I was going to mention that because I know, and you probably know them too, right? There's a ton of deal operators now that have shown up in the last few years alone, and they're claiming massive returns. I mean, honestly, the performers all look like they're carbon copied off each other, right? They all show like 16 to 18% IRR, right? They all look great when you look at the numbers and the opportunity. But what would you say, like, how would you scrutinize that? Say, is this person really the real deal? What would you say?
Yeah, well, I mean, when I look at it, it's like two parts, right? The person and the numbers. I'm able to underwrite deals, so I'm going to take the P&Ls and rent rolls, run it through my analyzer myself, and then figure out if it's a decent deal. For most passive investors, I would say most don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's truly in the scope of a passive investor. I mean, there are things in the pitch deck to be able to spot check, such as the reversion cap rate, the rent increases per year, kind of looking at the fee structure a little bit to kind of determine if it's legit or not.
Mm-hmm.
But really, you're going to have to build a network of other pure passive investors and figure out what experience they've had with an operator. Have they invested 50 grand with a guy and had a good experience?
Yeah, they're putting their own money in, right? Are they putting their own money risk, or are they just taking yours, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Good point. So what do you feel sets you apart as a deal operator?
Well, I mean, I think we've been around a little bit. You know, we've done over 30 deals, 5 of them full cycle now. You know, we're kind of graduating more to better assets these days, larger deals. But we're not a big institution, right? We're not like these big operators with dozens of staff, loaded splits, and acquisition fees. You know, we kind of keep it real, right? And for some people, that may not be what you're looking for, right? Some people want that feel of a big institution like a Vanguard and Fidelity, but you know what kind of returns you're going to get with that type of stuff, right? Or when you go to the retail type of investments, I'd like to think of us as more of a middle market operator. But as you said, like, how do you determine who is a good operator or an institutional one when everybody seems to be a master in internet marketing and branding, right?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, there's a guy, I don't want to mention his name because who knows, he might end up being a guest one of these days. But, you know, like I know there's a guy that's an operator, and when I started to really research into him more, I realized that bought his first duplex in 2014 and then nothing. And then all of a sudden in 2017, 2018, he created like 3 syndications. But what amazes me is the guy's been all over the internet, all over social media, to the point where people kept coming back to me saying, hey, what do you think of this guy? I'm like, this guy's barely even got his feet wet. You know, and he's trying to do a massive, and it wasn't just like doing an apartment building. It wasn't something, you know, pretty cut and dry. It was like, let's do a massive development deal, commercial deal even, right? In places, one of them was in Utah. I thought, what the heck? Like, I know that place. I would never do a deal there, but he is. And everybody's all hyped up on it because, hey, 20% IRR, it could be awesome, right?
Yeah. I mean, one of the biggest tricks is like, well, if you're a passive investor in 4 or 5 deals that happen to be 200, 300 units, you're, you know, you've technically got, what, 1,500, 1,600 units under your belt, right? But you don't know if the guy's just a passive LP investor, if he's the operator, if he's the guy in charge, right? It's just, it's really hard to determine what's legit out there. I mean, that's why I stopped going to a lot of real estate conferences these days, because I'm in this business as a syndicator, and I can't tell sometimes. I have to kind of go to my trusted inner circle to figure out who's legit.
That's the key right there, right? It's like, who actually knows them? Well, not just who knows them, but who do you know? Because I've noticed that like attracts like, right? When it comes to relationships, you know, if somebody that you know has a really good integrity and they're sincere and genuine, they're going to attract people just like that. Because I remember there was a day when I felt like I was trying to be like, I was trying to puff myself up to be more than I was. I was being kind of phony, right? Like years ago, I realized that the people that were attracted to my space were also phony, fake people. And then when I became more sincere and genuine, that's when all of a sudden the people I would attract, they would just be the sincere, genuine people. And the phony, fake people would never even cross my path. I wouldn't give them the time of day and they wouldn't give me the time of day. It's almost like we just never would enter each other's orbit. And I think that's huge. Like you want to be, make sure that you're associated with people that have good integrity, that when crap hits the fan, which it can or could happen, right? That they're going to hold true to their word. They're going to try to do whatever they can to make sure that you get your money back in that deal, you know, that you come out as unscathed as possible. And that's hard because it doesn't matter if they can do it. The question is, will they do it when push comes to shove?
Right. And I think the same thing goes with like vetting investors from my point of view. I mean, I try to be pretty upfront with people. It's like, hey, man, you can lose money. You know, it's not a guarantee, but we can go to the 60%, 70% range in terms of occupancy, which is pretty low chance of happening. We'll still cash flow, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, the guys, the investors, I know what the investors are out there. They're the ones kind of fishing for those high, crazy IRRs, right? They're just fishing off the numbers. And they're likely going with those kind of those newer sponsors that have to kind of put that out there. These are the same investors that are going to stab the operator in the back, right? When they don't hit projections or something like that. I think it's good that everybody is educated. They understand the real estate. It's a business. You know, it's just getting people occupied in units. And yeah, if we can stay pretty much occupied, we still make money. And there's upside.
Yeah. And I appreciate, you know, this is one thing that's interesting about you that I think the listeners should know too. So one thing that I've noticed when I've sent my clients to you is that a lot of times my clients come back and say, I don't think Lane wants me to invest with them. I think he kind of tried to talk me out of the deal. Maybe he doesn't want my money. If anything, like you've probably like very real with them. Like you're just like, hey, this is the reality. There's risks here. You could do this, but hey, make sure you don't put maybe more than 20% of your cash in here because we don't want you throwing every dime you've got into this deal. We want to make sure you're doing it with right diversification and stuff. And that's one thing I appreciate about you is that you're not just trying to snag people's money. You're like, no, I'll tell you. And you're blunt. I mean, you'll tell people, hey, if this is not a good fit, don't be in this investment.
Yeah. I mean, I think you and I kind of run our businesses very similarly, right? We more of that boutique style. You know, life's too short to work with difficult people.
Absolutely. Yes, for sure. Now, we were talking about before we went on the air here, and you said, because we've got people that are accredited investors that have a lot of cash. And I agree, like you can't, it's really hard to scale when you got so much cash scale just doing turnkey. That can only go so far to the point where it might drive you nuts. Maybe some people will like it, but for the most part, people are going to say, I've got way more cash here than I can put in down payments. Plus, I don't have to go through all these closings. All right, Lane, like here's a syndication, let's go. But I know with a lot of those people, they start doing multiple syndications, right? How do they stay organized? Because I have one client, for example, he's got like over 50 different investments out there. And he kept trying to do like 50,000 little bits at a time, right? And even me looking at his chart, I'm like, how can you even read this? Like in all the different payout timeframes, it's ridiculously complex. What does somebody do to try to stay organized, especially if they're trying to get the tax benefits and everything else that you pass along? How do they do that?
Yeah, so maybe we'll kind of describe like the dream investor portfolio, right? By no means is this what you should do, but here's an idea. You know, like most of these syndications, like minimums are around 50 grand, right? Warned institutional operators will want $100,000 to $250,000. Newer people will be desperate to get 25 grand. But normally, with good operators, it's like 50,000. And one of my rules of thumb is, you know, as a passive investor, any investor, myself included, you know, I don't want to put in more than 5% of my net worth into any one opportunity.
Yeah.
Therefore, I'm not, you know, I can be in 20 deals, ideally more, right? Because I have more than $1 million net worth and I get pretty good diversification. So most of the deals that, you know, we kind of shoot for, we run it on a 5-year mark. You know, it might take us 2 or 3 years to get rehab through most of the units, another couple of years just as cushion. But if you're thinking about like these projects, they have very different time frames. It's kind of variable, right? Mm-hmm. I tell people, you know, think about it somewhere between 3 and 7 years. Yeah. If something's going wrong, or maybe you hit projections faster, maybe you exit out early. If things are going well and you want to refinance, that's the ideal situation, right? The whole infinite return thing where you pull out your money, you stay in the deal, and you get more gains tax-free that way. And then you just cash flow, right? And it could go on for more than 7 years. So it's kind of, when you have 20-something deals in the pipeline, it's kind of like working like popcorn. And that's kind of a good kind of mental model, right? You're going into a deal maybe every quarter, and after 5 years, if at 4 a year, you've got 20 deals. That's pretty dang good diversification.
Yeah. I'll add a key to that too, because it's good to have that diversification. You do not have to invest with 20 different deal operators to do that. Just to, you know, because that's one thing I see too. People are like, I'm going to diversify among deals and diversify among operators. And I think you can go too far with that, right?
Yeah.
I think it's better to go deep, to really get to know those operators, to really know and trust them, and have less of those people, and then just do more deals with those same people, right?
Right, right. So, I mean, in the beginning, I think you're testing people out too in the beginning. But I think as you gravitate towards less investor portals to deal with, less contacts to deal with, I personally still like to diversify over different partners, right? I mean, the reason why you do syndication deals is you're able to get diversification four ways with different partners. I mean, you never know what happens. Somebody goes through a divorce or dies, right? You kind of don't want to have all your eggs in one basket. But then also different geographic locations. Not all sponsors are going to be strong in all places. I quite frankly don't have connections in the northern half of the United States.
Yeah,
I don't look there, right? I don't buy in California. I don't buy in New York. I don't buy in the Carolinas, for example.
Right.
So I think that's why it's good to kind of diversify with different partners. You get that geographic diversification there, but also different business plans. I mean, I like stabilized assets that are 90% occupied with light to medium value add, but another operator may focus on more hairier deals with higher returns.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think you're kind of looking for everything, or you try and develop your investor philosophy over the long run, kind of, you know, average, weighted average of what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And how about like dealing with all the K-1s and stuff? Like, what would they do about that?
Yeah, I mean, I have a K-1 tracker that I kind of made for myself. Obviously, you're going to give all your K-1s to your CPA and accountant.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know how those CPAs and accountants do it, because some of these investors, like myself, I mean, we've got like 30, 50 K-1s.
Right.
And like the check boxes on them, like they're never right. Like, with your general partner. Like I see so many K-1s. They never correspond to anything. I honestly don't know how the CPAs do this. So I think as a passive investor, what you're looking for is you want to know at least in your head a little bit how much passive activity losses you're tracking, plus or minus 50 grand. Uh-huh. So like the way I build my K-1 tracker is I have all the K-1s. I have kind of check boxes if it's LP, GP, or, you know, when was the entrance date? Because some CPAs will call it passive income after 3 years, some won't. Some have different metrics, right?
Yeah.
But at least you can kind of follow it yourself, but at least track how much passive losses you got from that investment, especially in the first year when there's a cost seg. Because in subsequent years, you're not going to have as much. But, you know, most passive investors and who have, you know, more than $1 million deployed, you're going to have several hundred thousand dollars of passive activity losses that are suspended. So they haven't been executed yet. So they can be used to offset future passive income, capital gains, or depreciate free capture should any one of these properties sell.
And
or
you sell
another asset.
Yeah. And do you just use a spreadsheet to track all this, or how do you best track it for yourself?
I have like a basic, like just a real basic K-1 tracker where I kind of sum it up. And but once you reach a point of a few hundred thousand dollars passive activity losses, stop worrying about it, right? You only freak out about the stuff in the beginning, right? You know you're good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, worst case scenario, like a deal cashes out, you double your money, and you get hit with $50,000 or $60,000 of capital gains, and maybe another $10,000 or $20,000 of depreciation recapture. So let's just say $70,000 or $80,000 of extra taxes. But you just dip out of your passive activity loss bucket. like I said, maybe you had 500, and you kind of shield it that year. But if you go and take that 100 grand, you invest it in two other deals, now you're probably going to end up with more passive activity losses than you began with. Right? It's just like to keep the good times rolling.
That's right. That's when you're like getting all the cash, but no tax, right? Which we love.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've asked several investors, like, I mean, I've only kind of started to see this on my 2018-19 taxes, and I didn't pay any taxes last year.
Yeah.
This is how you learn, right? You build relationships with other pure passive investors. So I had a good buddy who does this, and I'm like, yeah, man, like, do you not pay taxes? He's like, yeah, I haven't paid taxes in years, man. Like, and by the way, you guys want to have the on your taxes, you want to have, I think it's the 8285 form. That's the form that has all your passive activity losses. And if you don't have that, you need to get it, because likely your CPA is hiding it from you, because that's how they know you're shopping around to different CPAs. But that has all the depreciation schedules of all your syndications and rental properties. But that's essentially what your quick and dirty K-1 tracker should be sort of tracking. But that 8285 form, it's a little complicated. There's a lot of back-end calculations to get it. But
that's why it's also good to have a good CPA too, right?
Yeah, I think you gotta check them, I think, right? I mean, when you got that many K-1s, like, man, things are all over the place. I mean, it's certainly easier than, like, rental properties, right, with a Schedule E. I mean, that's a mess.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I mean, I know we're about out of time here, but if somebody wants to like to learn more about your deals or follow you more, what's the best way they can go about doing that?
Yeah, they can check out my podcast, Simple Passive Cash Flow. I think in the beginning, I was talking a lot about turnkey rentals. I think that's when we first met and you talked to me about this whole life banking thing.
Yeah.
I was still buying like 2017
or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And but then, you know, I've kind of changed more as an accredited investor and syndications are private placements. But yeah, if people want to get a hold of me, email address is lane@simplepassivecashflow.com.
Yeah. And definitely, guys, I recommend you do that. Go check out simplepassivecashflow.com. You can see whatever current deals he's got going on, webinars and all that kind of stuff. The thing I love that Lane is very educational, teaches a lot. He's also got a Simple Passive Cashflow podcast too. So be sure to check that out. But Lane, appreciate your time. Love your expertise. Thank you so much for joining us and adding value on our show today.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me, Chris.
Yeah, you bet. Well, everybody, appreciate you guys being on. And again, it's not just about listening to what we have here. It's about actually taking action and doing it. It's about making this work in your life so you can actually have that freedom that you've been dreaming of. So everybody, I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous week, and we'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.